Now we're going. Now we're going. Didn't mean to interrupt your
Well, Foster used to bug Hefner to get rid of him. But sometime about 1949, by that time, I had the there were only a very small number of AAUP members on campus at that time, and for some reason or other, they elected me president after I'd been here a couple of years. And so one morning, I read in the San Diego Union headline, Hefner, I don't remember the exact words, something or other, and it said, wishes Hefner would give his right arm to get rid of Steinmetz.
No.
And what had happened was that Foster had been bugging him again, and now Steinmetz did have tenure. So Hefner said, I'd give my right arm if I get rid of him, you know, to get rid of him. And Harry Foster, like a bastard he was, spilled that to the newspapers. Now this gave Harry Steinmetz, who loved to fight more than anything else, his chance at unprofessional conduct on the part of the president. Here was his vendetta against the president.
Well, yeah, tenure, he had nothing to worry about.
He had tenure, and he had not been promoted to full professor, although he'd finally achieved a doctorate, didn't have it earlier, from USC. So, these same building down here, this early building, I was coming out the door under the arch, one side, Harry Steinmetz came out of the door on the other side with, I think, two girls in tow, school. And his eyes flashing, he said, you see what Hefner said about me? And then he said, will the AAUP stand up for behind me?
Oh, how did you reply?
I said, of course we will stand up behind you, stand behind you, Harry, but we expect you to use good sense. And the girls tittered. Harry Steinmetz never forgave me.
This was, when was, what year was this?
About 49. 49 or 50.
And then finally he...
It was after that that the state legislature passed the law requiring testimony, and on the basis of that law, when Steinmetz refused, he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
It was after that, but it was not of Hefner's doing.
That must have been a rather trying period for you as president of San Diego office of AAUP?
The San Diego chapter.
San Diego chapter. That take up a good deal of your time, having to deal with the Steinmetz situation?
We met now and then. We were rather relaxed, and we used common sense. Mm-hmm. We did not have the troubles here that they had in other campuses. And, well, I forget how soon Joe McCarthy began to be a nuisance. Although... I had trouble, a little bit of uneasiness, is what I should say, not trouble, a little bit of uneasiness and a great deal of anger at Joe McCarthy. He was a menace to the country.
Did you see it putting quite a crimp on the style of a lot of instructors?
Put it on other places, but not here.
Not here?
No, not here. Because we felt that Hefner was reasonable enough. And we could trust most of our fellows. Steinmetz once promised to come clean and tell us, but then he weaseled his way out.
Yeah.
He never would answer that one. I suspect he may have been, but I think he was a sort of ineffective, weak sister.
Yeah. Do you have any other... I think we started out on this topic when we were talking about Hefner. Do you have any other stories you wanted to relate to me about Hefner?
Hefner.
Your first example, I think, out of three was the Steinmetz, and I was wondering if you had anything else to say.
he lived out on Point Loma and occasionally had a reception for the faculty out there. Mrs. Heppner was a, I don't know how I can characterize her genteelly or nicely, but sort of a masterful kind of woman.
Hmm. As the wife of the president of the university, I think you have to be pretty well adapted.
Well,
social skills.
Well, she was a little less than gracious at times. You approach Jack Adams on that, I think you'll get some very decorous but telling statements. Did not have the suave liberal arts background that ideally a college president in those days was thought to need. But he was, I say, he was thoroughly honest. And, I can tell you one good thing about it. I was still president of the AAUP when the Korean incident came up, and we had a sharp drop in enrollment and had to reduce staff. I can't remember the figures exactly now. I may be wrong by a few, but it was something like this. We had been having 236 positions on campus. We were cut to 186 for the next year. Ouch. But Heppner, having foreseen something, had not renewed some temporary appointments in the spring, or whatever it was, and so we had actually, let us say, something in the nature of 210 on the rolls. The positions were there, but we hadn't filled them all. So there it showed that he was fairly adept. Now, we had some part-time appointments, and according to the law, there was no tenure for part-timers, and they were then dropped, and that cut some positions. And then there were also some temporaries, and some others who were just been hired for 1 year with a view to becoming permanent, but had not yet been given permanency. Among those was George Gross, who did not yet have his PhD. We wanted him. He was a superb teacher. We liked him, but we couldn't keep him. Mm-hmm. So he left us and got a job at Grossmont, where he did very well for many years. And after prodding, got his degree, and came back, and it's an ornament here now. Now, after all of these, there were still 8 positions more than we had for the next year. So Heppner went through the list of everybody. Oh, here. And now, what department? Some departments I can't cut because we have to have the... One of his 8 was in English. Mm-hmm. And he said to us, it's really between these two. She's a better teacher. He came here a little earlier. And he called together the president of the chapter AAUP, the president of the chapter of the CSEA, and the president of the chapter of the ACSCAP. CSEA, California State Employees Association, ACSCP, or Association of State College Professors. And I forget what the other 2 were, it doesn't matter. Except that I should give them credit for it because I didn't say it. He called us and said, here they are. I want you to help me on this. What shall I do? Here are these 8. And one of the others, Barnhart was one in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other one was Clifford Smith in astronomy, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we can't give you an answer right off. We have to think about it and consult. Give us a day. He said, all right, we'll give you a day. So we went out, and the other said, we can't do it. It is true. She is a better teacher than he is. He is not a good teacher. He's a good man in the English department. She is a better teacher, but she came here later. We've got to do it on an impartial principle and not on the basis of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
She will have to go. Let him stay. So we went back to Heppner, or whatever it was we had the appointment, and said, we are not going to take responsibility for naming individuals, but we will give you a principle which we think must be followed, and that is strict seniority.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to see Gail Burnett go.
Was she ever rehired?
And she's back here. We said, when we have a chance, when we have money again and an opportunity, these eight who are let go must be, they're on tenure, must be the first to be offered reappointment. All right, 2 years later, we had increase and could bring her back.
Well, way back up again, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And then at that time, she was given a promotion because she would have been entitled to one if she'd come and stayed.
And she's been here ever since?
She retired about 1969. And you ask around, she still teaches private classes.
Burnett.
Not for money. Gail Burnett is known and loved. She's a great teacher.
You have high regard for all the individuals over in the English department at that time, and also now, things changed over the years.
I do not know them now. A lot of them I don't even know their name. I will say this. When I was chairman, there were 14 members of the department outside, one or two temporary, you know, of whom 12 were full professors.
Mm-hmm.
When I mentioned that in my travels across the countries I had occasion to do, I was met with stares of disbelief. How could that happen? I said, we're good. I did not have equally high regard for all members of the department. In his way or her way, each had some excellence. There were some very superior teachers. And I know this, that when I became a dean and I had high-quality students to deal with, I could get them a program which would be superb. You could not do better in any institution or in the world by choosing. Of course, that was unfair, and some members of the faculty, if they had known exactly how I was doing that, would have criticized me violently for being selective.
Hmm.
Oh, yes.
But that's interesting. Had the students had that same information at hand, they would have done the same thing.
If the students what?
If the students had had that same information at hand, they would have done the same thing. Wouldn't they have? I mean, had they
yes,
would have
chosen. Yes, could not all of us have got in, though. Mm-hmm. I was able to talk to teachers and say, I know you're going to have a little bit of dropping. You have a little more than you need now. Could you take so-and-so? I think he would benefit by what you can give him.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
You gave you definitely gave the students personal attention in that way, especially the promising ones.
The only reason I was willing to be a dean was that I could make it possible for more teachers to do the kind of thing I wanted and for more students to get the kind of thing I wanted them to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was important.
Yes. I don't mean to change gears on you here. I wanted to ask you very quickly about the initiation of the tenure procedures. When did that start, and what all was involved in getting that nailed down?
It started about 1937 or 8, before I came. Heppner worked on the State Board of Education. Mm-hmm. They had to pass a rule, and that's all there was to it.
That was it?
Yeah.
They have to review it for several years and justify why
they did it? Well, I don't think they did that.
How long did it take them to have it approved? 1, 2 years?
I think it took him 2 or 3 years to do it. Now, if you, sometime or other he mentioned his getting that, and I don't remember when it was. Maybe Jack Adams will know when tenure was first.
I've seen it. I have never seen it mentioned. As a matter of fact, in the little bit of reading I've been doing, I haven't seen anything
well,
about it.
Well, so I'll give you something brand new. I have a very vivid memory that that is what Heppner himself told me.
Mm-hmm. This little item here says that Walter Heppner was instrumental in organizing a system of divisional chairmen.
That's right.
One for each of the major groups of disciplines I'm reading here. I'm interested in the ways
which,
that the...
Which is that you're reading?
It's a photocopy of portraits of the presidents.
Oh, I wrote it.
Did you write this? Let's see here. I have a photocopy.
Doesn't there, my name doesn't appear anywhere. Somebody improved it. 1 or 2 sentences to my irritation.
This definitely. I've got copies of other things you have written in here. But I've... It's never been clear to me, and I don't know if it is to anybody else, and I don't know if there's an easy way to find this information, but learn about the different academic administrative changes that the university has gone through, say from 1935 onwards. I know it changed from one to another. You were Dean of Arts and Sciences. How did that change into College of Arts and Letters?
It didn't.
And so on and so forth. Well, what took place?
Well, the Heppner decided the college was too big not to have sort of deans. So, and you're going to get some of the information on that from Jack Adams because he was appointed about 1945 or 6 into a, and he became the chairman of the division. He'd been maybe before then was. Mm-hmm. Now, to open the schools and colleges, we had several studies made. Oh dear, I probably throw it out. No, I didn't throw it out. I gave it to the archives. There was a study of the of general education. That comes about every 15 years.
The accreditation.
I've been through it 2 or 3 times, and so that came up, and we had nearly everyone on campus. This was Heppner, about 1950, in one committee or another. Coming up with recommendations of what things should be and how they should go, what should be done. Mm-hmm. And I forget what little, well, I was some little cog and some little wheel on that business. Frankly,
you served on several different accreditation committees.
That's another story completely.
That's something else altogether.
I'm on the verge of thinking of something. In 1957, around Christmas time, President Love appointed a committee on liberal education. And chairman of that was Spencer Rogers. You want to talk to him sometime? S-P-E-N-C-E-R, Rogers. He's retired now. And we were told, what do you think it would be for a program, for an ideal program for a college student? And we worked on that more or less for a year. And we decided that there should be one person in charge of it who would facilitate an improvement of program to a proper liberal college standards. And so that took us almost all the year, and in December of 58, that committee made its report. And you have a copy of that report, I'm sure, somewhere.
I'm sure there's a copy of it.
And to my surprise, I had thought that either Spencer Rogers would be asked to be the person in charge, or more likely Jack Adams. And I'm sure that if Jack Adams was on the committee, I'm sure that if Jack Adams had wanted it, he could have had it. But as it happened, to my surprise, President Love called me in and asked me to serve. And I said, "What do I do?" He said, "You'll find out." Now, I was on the accreditation committees. The Western College Association is an institution which goes around checking on the quality of college programs in different institutions. Mm-hmm. And we had been through, in connection with one of those accreditations, we'd gone through one of these deep soul-searching things and all. And so I don't remember how that about starting the schools and colleges. I think I know that came in late with President Love. Mm-hmm. But after, I can see, I don't know, sometime in the 50s, I was asked to serve on an accrediting committee. And I served, I wish I could remember what order of places, but I served on a number of not too large institutions. Among others, there was Pepperdine, there was Westwood in Santa Barbara, Sacramento Junior College, which became Sacramento State, I think. I think it's Sacramento Junior College it was. The University of San Diego, the Catholic institution, I was there twice. Others will come to me. But one after another, I served on these, and after I'd served two or three times, I began being chairman of the committee. And that took time. One of the jobs of the chairman is to write up the count afterward.
Oh, yes, and you did of your own report writing all on your own.
Well, each member, sub-member, reported on his area. Mm-hmm. Whatever he was assigned to do, and he sent it to me. And I think I did not do much rewriting there. I did some rewriting, but they did. Mm-hmm. I did a proofreading and that sort of editing. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep you too long.
No, I'm just wondering, I'm talking way too long.
Well, you have a lot to say, and we still have a lot of ground to cover. I'm going to flip this tape over.
Turn it over before it's due, then you lose the rest of that on that side. On the other side, you lose all that.
Two minutes of the space there. Well, here appointed a dean of arts and sciences in 1959. This is just
right
about when the new liberal that arts thing was just coming, was just being refined.
What happened was, after I became dean, we called the committee together, and we finished refining our liberal arts requirements, and then we had to get departments to join us.
Uh-huh.
And there was some thought, some of them wanted to stay out. They didn't want to be trammeled with all our thing. And also, there may have been some minor jealousy of prerogative and authority.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to me that after a little while, they almost tumbled over each other to get in. They were so happy about it.
It was a very good system that was worked out.
It was a good system.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when they improved on it later by trying to level it, they Now I have to go back and think it over again and come back to our conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Well, this liberal arts program that President Love initiated in 58 yes. or 59, that was one excellent thing that he did for the university. What other good things did President Love bring about?
He initiated the Senate and gave it power. That was interesting because it was very risky to give a body like that power to do things. But there were some very fine faculty members, mm-hmm. leaders and thinkers and cooperative who were not self-seekers at all. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Mm-hmm. When was the Senate established?
It was established, I ought to know. I was there.
You served as secretary from 1960 to 69.
Right. 7.5 years. 61 maybe. Now what happened was, I was ex officio on the Senate. Uh-huh. As Dean of Arts and Sciences. And I was in there, and I don't know whether this is a valid way to say it, but I had a feeling that some members of the Senate thought that members of the establishment should more or less keep their peace, and you know. And President Love used to attend, and he was originally the presiding officer. But, and there was, as I say, Morris Crawford was secretary to the Senate. He got sort of tired of it. He had a stenographer to take minutes, and she, after a while, was pretty nearly doing it all because he was too busy doing other things. Now, came around time for elections, and somebody, for whatever reason, nominated Sidney Gulick. And I heard a snort and guffaw on the back as though this, oh boy, this will be a good way to take care of him. And to my surprise, I was elected because I didn't think they would elect an ex officio member to the to an office in their association. But there he was. And so I started taking the minutes. Little by little, President Love withdrew himself as there was a faculty, I think Love presided only once or twice, maybe, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. But there was a faculty president, and Love, I think, he was there, certainly, and sort of watching to make sure nothing untoward happened. And little by little, he became comfortable with what the group was doing. Mm-hmm. So for 7.5 years, I was secretary. And Lowell Tozer was secretary for 7 years.
It's been
nobody else has
strong organization.
Yeah.
During the time that you were secretary, what did any major considerations come up for your review? What exactly was going on?
You have my 5-foot shelf of book down there in the archives. My minutes. Those are my memories. You have all the evidence there. Love had the feeling after a little while that things would go all right, and that he knew that I would report to him if the case there was. Mm-hmm. I had to draft a good many things. It would quite frequently, they would say, we would come out with the general ideas, and then say, ask me to write it up for them.
Oh, I see.
So they came to trust me on that.
It would be your own wording.
Because as a matter of fact, whether I agreed with it or not, I did what they said. Well.
Maybe we should wrap this up for today.
I've talked a lot more than I intended.